that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, the singing, the fellowship, the meals of food that's been prepared. We're thankful for that. I pray now, Lord, as we preach your word today and the word goes forth, I pray our hearts and minds can be clear of any other distractions outside of this that may cause us not to be focused on you, your word, and what you have for us here. I pray each one here will be encouraged, particularly parents, grandparents with raising children. I pray that they'll be encouraged. And Lord, and all said and done, we can say it's been good to be in thy house. Pray for the salvation of one. Maybe somebody here that doesn't know you, Lord, never called on your name for salvation, never confessed that they are, in fact, are a sinner and trusted you for salvation. It's my prayer today that they do so and be saved. And according to your word, if we confess with our mouth and believe in thine heart, Lord, we can be saved. And so we pray for that today and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Build the house, kind of the title here, because, you know, really we're building a life, we're building a house, we're building a family, where everything is being built. And Michael and Carrie, this isn't the first time that they've ever since they've come. And I remember when they first came and they've had their children here, I guess, all of them and everyone. We've you know, had a service. They want to just kind of have a dedication service. They want to raise their children in under the, you know, admonition of the Lord, so to speak, and, you know, in the church. And you know, I said, like, they're doing, you know, talk about building a church, they're doing their part. They you know, I don't know how, what the plan is, but let's see how many seats are in a row there. We might get the whole row and fill it up, but that's good. You know, I like it. Some people, you know, babies get to whining and fussing. That's okay. I'd rather have that than not have any sound from children. We'll take all the crying babies we can get. And we want to, you know, teach them what God says and teach about God's word. Now, baby dedication, that's not an ordinance in the word of God like a baptism, like where we're commanded that this is what we're supposed to do. It's not an ordinance. But as we have biblical precedents for dedicating a baby to the Lord or a child to the Lord. I mean, you know, Hannah, boy, what a great story that is. A woman named Hannah, she was barren without child, and she prayed and prayed, and she wanted a man-child. Man-child was your insurance policy in those days, with along with other things. I'll get to that in one of my points. But she prayed for a man-child, and the Lord gave her a child. And she said, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll dedicate him to you all the days of his life. I mean, man, this is nothing greater that you could do for your children than this. And things were a little different under the Old Testament in that dispensation. But when he was weaned, she physically took her child, Samuel was his name, she took Samuel down to the temple, and she gave him to the high priest, Eli at the time, to raise him in the house of God. He was going to be raised right there with the high priest. And of course, he was ordained by God beforehand, I think, to be a priest to start with. He was going to be the high priest one day. And so she took him down there, and she'd go see him once a year. Now, that's dedication right there. That's dedication. That's trust. That's faith. A faith in God that he would see him through all that. But boy, she was really serious about this dedication system. And then also Joseph and Mary, even with Jesus, after he was circumcised 8 days, they brought him to the temple to present him to the Lord. You know, and she didn't wait. A lot of times, one thing I like about Carrie and Michael, what they do, sometimes we've had women, they get with child, and I mean, man, it's 6 months, but you know, the kid's ready to go in first grade before we ever see them. We gotta wait, man. They as soon as they're born, man, they're down here, you know, got doctors and nurses coming from the hospital with them. Just kidding, but they get them down here early, man. Get them into church and bring them on. We get to see the baby and all that, so that child knows from day one. I was so thankful I got saved when my daughter was born. I was saved in August the 20th in 1987, and my daughter had been born in November. And so, you know, got her in church, and She's been in church all her life. Kyle's been in church all his life, man. You know, like the people said, growing up in church, they had a drug problem. They got drugged to church at Sunday school. They got drugged to church on Sunday morning. They got drugged to church on Sunday night. And they got drugged to church on Wednesday night. I don't know that they looked at it like that, but they've been in church all their life. They know that and bound around the things of God. And, you know, that's a blessing right there. Now, you don't get saved just because you've been around church all your life, but at least you got the foundation set there for that. And so, you know, I think we have precedence for that. And there's several things about that. And you know, we as a church, we're a church family. And I'm going to talk about this too. We help them. We're going to help them. You know, we help them as much as we can as a church family. And we got, you know, Eleanor, Rena Hall, but they call her Ellie. So she said, whatever name I want to use. And Ellie, Carrie's in the nursery. We have video up there and sound. She can see what's going on at the same time. You know, several things about what a child dedication is. And this is what, number one, the very first thing I put down is it's a celebration of life. Verse 3, this is kind of the key verse of the whole thing. It says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Verse 4, it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, you know, we understand some things in life. Not everybody gets married. Not everybody that gets married has children. Some people just choose not to have children. A boy grew up next to me, and I grew up in Virginia Beach. Him and his wife, they just decided they didn't want to have children. They didn't have any, and, you know, some people do that. And then some, you know, can't have children for one reason or another, you know, and we just have to trust God's wisdom in things. And we can't explain everything that God does. God has a plan, and we maybe don't understand it, but he knows. And so, but you know, when we do have children and when children come, we can celebrate life, you know. In the olden days, there was, you know, they celebrated the continuance of the family line. I guess we do too. You know, we're going to have a heritage there behind us. We can celebrate that. In those days, you know, particularly in those days, not so much now, but you know, in those days, in the olden days, they didn't have like Social Security and they didn't have assisted living program. You know, when you had children and in even the economy, the way it was, the way things were in life, women normally didn't have jobs outside the home. I mean, that's a full-time job. You were making the clothes, picking the food, cooking the food. You know, that's a full-time job. The husbands were, you know, going out and working. They were the ones that were breadwinners and stuff. So women and families, they like to have male. They like the women, the girl children too, but they always wanted to have a male child because that was really an insurance policy. Say a woman that only had one son. Her husband died, buddy. Her son was going to be her insurance policy, her assisted living program, her Social Security system, you know, so all those things wrapped into one. They took care. I mean, they didn't have all the programs that we have today. So your children are the ones that take care of you. I'm trying to get my kids to understand that, you know, down the road. I try to get Danielle to trim my my toenails now, but she don't want to do it. She doesn't want to trim my toenails. But try to get them trained up for that. So, you know, they celebrate just life. You know, God told us to go into all the earth, told Adam and Eve, and, you know, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. He wanted us to have children, and they're a heritage of the Lord. And so that's what he told us to do. And so we see that. We can celebrate their life. The second thing, children are a heritage of the Lord, is the acknowledgement of God. It's in a, you know, here when we have a baby dedication, we're celebrating the child, the birth of the child, but we're celebrating, we're also acknowledging God. You know, we know with having children, well, most of the time there's human effort involved, although in Jesus's case there wasn't any human effort involved in that, but most of the time in having a baby. But you know what? God is more involved in a childbirth than we are. God is more involved in that. I mean, listen, God designed man. He designed the reproductive system. The Bible tells us in all cases, God gives the increase. God told Jeremiah, he said to this, and he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He knew him, and he knew us before the foundation of the world. God knew us. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, not us, him. He's the one that did it. I knew thee. And he ordained, I'll get to this in a minute, but he ordained him to be a prophet before he formed him in the belly. Man, he had a plan for him as well. So, you know, God is more involved in the birth process than we think a lot of times, and we are. And, you know, Mary was a virgin, man. Mary hadn't known a man. God was totally involved in the birth of Jesus. And so God planned for the, you know, this was God's plan. Over I got Psalm 139, had a couple verses that would go along with this, 13 through 15. The Bible says, for thou hast possessed, and David wrote this, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And so there's David's testimony to the fact of God's involvement in his birth, even his creation. That word heritage there that we're looking at in our text in Psalm 127, that means an inheritance, a possession, a legacy. But it also infers the responsibility of us, the parents, even I think grandparents too have an impact, a responsibility and obligation to pass on things to our children that they would pass on, and certainly in context, passing on the things of God from us to our children and from our children down to their children like that. I've noticed this. Listen, there's generations. I see this. More than likely, you get in a family that it's not always true. I mean, there's sometimes a break. But most of the families, I look back when I grew up in Virginia Beach, and I was thinking about my upbringing. You know, my parents, we'd take us to church. And, you know, there was times we weren't always as faithful with that as we should have been. But we went to church. And one of my buddies that I grew up with, Donald Jackson, we'd known each other since we were 4 years old. And, you know, I moved away, and I was in the service and moved out, you know, and we kind of keep in touch. He became a pastor too, and we talked about this. We had a friend right down that lived between me and him, and his parents, they weren't involved with church and with God. I don't think they were atheists. They didn't say they didn't believe in God, but they didn't go to church. And you know what happened later on? Donald, he became a pastor of a church, and I became a pastor of a church. This isn't always going to happen. And if you'd have known us back then, you'd have thought, ain't no way in the world that these boys are going to be pastors of a church, but that's the grace of God. But the other boy, he just got to, I mean, he believed there was a God, but he had nothing to do with God. He would not let us witness to him. He just died last year, about a year, 2 years ago, a year and a half, and time goes by so fast. You know, and just never, just upbringing had an impact, see, on how we went. And the families around here, I'll go around and, you know, yeah, great-grandparents was in church. Grandparents was in church. Parents was in church. They were in church. And the opposite is true. There's families that you go to, and they're not churched at all. They don't know anything about it. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand anything. They may believe there is a God, but they don't know God the way they should or could know God. And so we see that, boy, what a responsibility to pass these things. Listen, I can't make my kids get saved, and we can't make them, but, boy, we can sure lead them in the right way and have the ground plowed and have an opportunity, have them hearing the Word of God. It's the Word of God that makes an impact on our life, not us and our personalities. And like I say, as I said, Jeremiah 1:5, where it spoke about God forming him in the belly, he said, you know, it also states that God ordained him to be a prophet unto the nations. God had already ordained this. Here he wasn't even born yet. And God said, all right, I'm going to form you in the belly. He said, I formed you in the belly, and I ordained you beforehand to be a prophet to the nations. So what does that tell us? That God already has a plan for your life. that God has a plan for your life. How many of you want to believe that God's plan will be better than your plan? Allah, you listen, God got a plan for your life, really, and his plan will be better for your life than your plan will be. I'm not saying you couldn't have what we would call a successful life, a good life, those type of things, but I'll tell you what, God's plan is always better. And, you know, God doesn't, think about this, God doesn't create a life for nothing. He doesn't just say, listen, I'm gonna just have, these people are going to have a baby. We've got little Ellie born now. What is she? Just to take up space on the pew that I was talking about? Just so that the parents can have a baby and be all happy with that at times? and raise a child up just so they can grow up, go to school, get a good job, live to old age, retire, have a home and all that, have their own kids, and then just die? God, that's not, there's more to God's plan in life for that than that. Listen, God's got a plan. Our number one plan in life, our purpose in life is to glorify God. The Wednesday night crowd, they know that. That's what the Bible tells. We're to glorify God. Now, we do it different ways. We can do it different ways, certainly. But boy, that's the plan. You know, God's got a plan. Somehow, God's got a plan for Ellie to glorify God. We don't know what that is. I hope she grows up to be a piano player. We don't have one. I need a piano player like, I think I need one. We've been operating for years without one. I keep thinking, I say, God, if it's your will, I mean, we're doing without it. We'd probably sing songs we never would have sung with a piano player, because the piano player, unless we get like the top in the world, they probably can't play some of the songs. But maybe she'll be a piano player. Maybe she'll be a singer. She'll sing, you know, to God. Maybe she could even be a missionary. She may be a Sunday school teacher. She may be all of the above. You know, just the things that she could do for God, a testimony. I preach funerals for people from new stillborn babies to a lady that was 106 and almost 107 years old. Let me tell you about that lady right there. Hazel Hager was her name. And buddy, she was a good Christian lady, and at 106, her mind was sharp. It was fine. And she's taught Sunday school in church, and she talked about the Lord. And Jamie back there in the back, she worked down there at the place where she was, and Hazel told, she says, you know what? Here she was, 106. She said, she was at the Carrington, but she was like just it wasn't really a nursing home for her. It was just more like a retirement home. She just needed a little bit of care, had to do some walking, walk around, but she wasn't on a lot of medication and things. Her mom, but she said, you know, as long as I'm here, I'm going to talk to these girls that work here, these nurses, I'm going to talk to them about the Lord. She goes, God wants me to do something. 106 years old, man. I mean, this was her testimony. Now, another secret to her life was she was only married 3 years. Her husband got run over by a train in West Virginia, and she never remarried, so that's just food for thought, I'm just saying. She didn't get married. I said, no wonder you lived to be so long. And she told me, she said, when I first met her, she said, now listen, I'm not a granny. Don't call me granny. I said, okay, I won't call you granny. She said, everybody called her Aunt Hazel. Everybody see when you call her Aunt Hazel. She was a Christian lady, and she had something to do for God. And here she was, 106. She didn't hang it up. And so God has a purpose. Maybe that was just all the purpose that she had. What a testimony she had all of her life. And she could tell you stories, what she did during World War II. And man, I tell you, it was great. I love talking to her. I preached her funeral. A preacher, funeral friend, wanted me to be in on that. But so God doesn't create a life for nothing, for no purpose, just to take up space on the planet. He's got a plan for us, a divine plan for each person. Another third thing here, when the baby dedication, as I usually say when this happens, is it's really more of a parent dedication. Because Ellie right now, she don't know what's going on. We've got a program. I've been having encouraging our church people that if you don't read your Bible every day, I said, I'll tell you what, do read your Bible every day, at least a little bit every day for 30 days straight. See if it doesn't change your life. And if you're a regular Bible reader and you read your Bible once a day, I encourage you to read it twice a day and see if it doesn't change your life. Read a little bit in the morning, read a little bit in the evening, listen, look at what you read, concentrate on what you read. It will impact your life, the Word of God. That's the plan right there. That's a commitment. But little Ellie, she can't read the Bible yet. So she, right now it's the parents. The parents more than the child are really making a commitment here. And this is what I want to tell you, parents. There's no way that you can dedicate your children to God if you are not dedicated to God. Amen. You know, the old saying in the old days, don't do as I do as I say do, that don't cut it. It doesn't cut it. Never has. It's never cut it. We got to dedicate ourselves or commit ourselves so that our children see that. They see what you do. They see you at home all the time. They see you in your imperfection a lot of times. We have to be committed. You know, Jesus, as I said, were brought by the parents to the temple when he was just 8 days old, and they didn't just drop him off, but they brought him, and they were there with him. And so today, Michael and Carrie have requested a service to show their intent to raise this child, their child, according to God's word and according to God's principles. Well, you got to know God's word, and you got to know God's principles to raise your child that way. And, you know, having children is the easy part of things, really. I tell people when they get married, listen, the wedding, man, that's the easy thing. The marriage is the deal where you work at it. You know, we're building, as I said in the very beginning, except the Lord build the house, we're building it in vain. And that's what we're doing. We're all building a house. We're building a house, a family, a household. We're building a marriage. You know, marriages just don't happen without effort from both sides. You build a marriage, raising your children, you're building a family. You build a family. It's all effort that is taking care of that. And then dedicating the Lord is more than just a ceremony that we're having today or something we're talking about today. It's going to, you know what happened? Your actions, your works, your words, conduct, your consistency, because this world that we're living in is pulling your kids away from God, away from godliness. This world is doing all it can to pull those kids away. And, you know, the other day I had a guy that pulled up to the house and we got to talk, and I'd talked to him one other time, and I said, "Hey, bud," I said, I told him I was a pastor down here, and I said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you," he said, "we haven't gone in a while. Part of it was," he said, "you know, I went to," he named off some churches, I'm not going to name them off, and because this would be true even if I put this church name in. This, and I told the church on Wednesday night, I told our Wednesday night group about this. But he said, "You know, I went to church, and I know what the Word of God says. I grew up in church and that, but I saw these people that were in church, and they were saying that they were Christians." And he said, "But what happened was," he goes, "I see them out." And he goes, "and they're living a contrary life. They're saying one thing, and they're doing something else, and they're living a certain way, and they're doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they're going places they shouldn't do." And he said, "I tell you what, I got discouraged about it." And I told him, I said, "Look, man, number one, you know, this, I understand it shouldn't be that way, but it is. We're dealing with people." And I said, "It'd be that way in my church too." And I said, "But we got to get our eyes on Jesus, get our eyes on the Lord. That's what you need to look at." And I said, but I told the church on Wednesday night, I said, "Look, here's the thing. You don't want to be, he can't use that as an excuse down the road. Well, the reason I didn't go to church was faithfulness and that is because of everybody else. But at the same time, we will be responsible for being a stumbling block to somebody in life, huh? If we're living our life contrary to the Word of God and it's hindering somebody from coming to God, being in church, I'm telling you what, it shouldn't be that way. No, it shouldn't be that way. We have to, you know, our actions have to, our conduct has to back up what we say for our children to really understand that. You know what? It's a fight, man. We got to fight for our kids. Fight for our kids, man. And it tells us up here in verse 27, "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain," you know, watching and keeping. Well, we got to watch with the Lord. That's it. We got to watch with the Lord. And otherwise, you know, we're trying to watch for our children, but it's going to be in vain if we don't have the Lord. The fourth thing, too, is a foundational step. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." You know, a house doesn't build itself. I said a few minutes ago, I was probably ahead of myself. Marriage doesn't build itself. A life just doesn't build itself. Unfortunately, a lot of us just are kind of like a jellyfish, whichever way the tide's going, that's where we end up, instead of saying, getting a direction, getting a place to go. So we build a life. And parents, what do parents do? This is what we do. We build the foundation that your child's life is going to be built upon. We build the foundation. And I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter what gets built on top of the foundation. If the foundation isn't square, the foundation's not right, whatever's built on top of it's going to fall apart down the road. And there's nothing more important than the foundation for your children. We got parents in here, younger parents with kids. And I'm going to tell you, this doesn't matter. And except the Lord's in it, it's going to be all in vain. That's what the Bible tells us right there. And then that life may fall. I don't think there's a parent here. None of us is parents that are in our right minds, and that's questionable with a few of us. But I don't think there's a parent that doesn't want the very best for their children. All y'all, I know most of y'all well enough to believe that. I believe you want the very best for your kids. You do.
Amen.
Let me tell you what the very best is. Jesus Christ. He is the best thing. All the other things, and man, I tell you what, we go to extremes with a lot of things, and they're not bad things. I mean, man, if their teeth are crooked, we want to get them braces, man. We'd like for our kids to learn some of the arts, maybe the piano player, maybe to do that. It's great, man, it's good. We like our kids to be involved, to play sports, be out, you know, to get involved youth things. You learn a lot of things from that, working with others and all that. But, man, listen, none of them top a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the best thing, to have God in your life, to be filled with the Spirit of God, have eternal life. What parent of all things would want your children to be without Christ and end up in a Christless hell? We want our children to be saved. We want our children to be saved, knowing that if something happened to them, that they were saved, they're in heaven. Huh? What a blessing that is, and to know God. There's the very best thing that we can give our children is a heritage of the Lord himself. That heritage right there, that's the best thing that we can give our children. And the best place to bring your children is to church. And then the best thing is to lead them to Christ. Not only, it can't be just today, it's got to be every day. I saw a thing on TV. This was the greatest thing. I think it was even like on Fox News. It's unusual, but I saw this. It's on social media, and y'all might have, there's these triplets. They're three teenage boys that are Christians. Has anybody seen these guys? There's three teenage boys, and what they do, they talk to teenagers about the Lord. They're, you know, not... they're not like 19, 20, I don't think. I think they're just in the middle teenage years. But they're triplets. And this is what they said. It kind of blew my mind or thought. They said, boy, we remember since we were little kids, they said, our dad. They didn't say that their mother didn't do it, but a lot of times it's always the mom that does it. The mom is bringing them to church. The mom is praying with them. The mom is reading the Bible. They said, our dad read Bible stories to us since we were little kids, little babies. All our life, he read Bible stories to us. They was in church. They got saved. And now they got a podcast. I forgot how many million views they got. They're triplets. And they talk to teenagers about the Lord. They talk to them, you know, and I mean, teenagers will listen to teenagers a lot of times when there's somebody. I mean, man, what a blessing. And so, you know, it's the family's commitment and then a foundational step. We're laying the foundation. Ultimately, your child will have to make a decision about Christ themselves. And sometimes, you know, Adam and Eve, I believe they raised their kids the same. I believe they raised Cain and Abel up the same way. Both of them had the same opportunity to trust God, and Cain didn't listen. And we can't help that sometime, but we have to lay the foundation for them. And then the fourth thing, the fifth thing, this is the last thing, is church support. They chose to, Carrie and Michael, they did everything different. And then Carrie called up one day, she goes, hey, she said, yeah, we're looking for a church, this and that. And here she's talking to me, to pastor. Where do you think that we should bring our kid? Where should we come to church? I said, what do you think I'm going to say? Here. Huh? Not just because I'm the pastor. I just think that's where you ought to be. And now they said, okay. Well, they didn't come right away. They had to go out and find out for herself. And then they came and they found out, okay, this is where we need to be. But here's the deal. They're here. They've entrusted their family with this church and this pastor. And, you know, this is where they want to raise their kids up. And so we're all in part of this. We're helping them in more ways than one. We help them, because we're a family. And so you as parents, you bring your children to us. You know, we got Sunday school classes. You're entrusting us. We're going to try to help you out every way we can. And And you know, they're asking for a commitment from the church. And oh, I forgot, I know what I was going to tell you earlier. You know, David and Katie are here, and Brinley's got, she got a brain tumor, and we got a lot going on. We wanted to help them out. So when we had our vacation Bible school, I told the Wednesday night people, you know, we do the penny thing with coins. They got buckets, and we got a thing like a cross that teeter-totters, and the girls put pennies in, the boys, and see which one gets the most. And we said at the beginning, we're going to donate all the money to the Watts because they got to go through these treatments with Brinley. They operate on her and everything's good, but they got to do some other things to be sure. A lot of money, a lot of travel, a lot of expenses away from work and all that. We said, we're going to donate our money that we get. Well, usually, you know, we get a couple $100. And we got the final tally. We only got half of it a week ago. We had $614. Well, less than half, more than half. And the other came in, it was 300 and something. Anyway, the grand total was about $954 that we got in change. And so we just wrote a check and bumped it up to 1,000, gave it to them today to help us. See why? Because they're part of our family. Huh? It's what you do for your family. You know, it's not just financial support. It's prayer support. If we can help out with kids, Carrie, we've helped her out, baby holding and babysitting, and we try to do that and whatever we can do. I mean, this is what we're doing. There's a commitment there from the church. I think in a lot of areas, not just child raising, but this is what it means, a church family. And we're not just alone for the ride. We have responsibility, and we want to support them. We want to encourage them. You know, we want to pray for the parents. I pray for all the parents. So we pray for the kids. I pray for the teachers that teach your kids. We pray for the child. We pray for the congregation. And that's what we do. So that's what's involved in a baby dedication. I've already, one time in one of the kids, I don't know which one, we did where we had some vows, like little vows for Carrie and Michael. But by the very fact that they brought their children and said, hey, we want to have a dedication service, that tells me they're dedicated. This is what they want to do. This is what they want to raise. And so I thought, well, we're going to do something different today. And so I want to have the men of the church come up here, and I want the whole family to come up. And we're going to pray over this family right here. And as they have their children here amongst us. And look, here's three of them. All these kids were pretty much born as they've been here at this church. And so we've known them all their lives. We've known them all. So come on up here, men. Huddle around this family. Get in the middle. Y'all get in the middle. We're going to pray for them, and I'll pray for this family. But we want y'all to know, Carrie, Michael, we want you to know we want to support you any way we can. And we do it for any family that we have here. We're here to help you somehow. We're not perfect, and we might drop the ball every now and then, but this is what we want to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to lift up little Ellie to you today as her family wants to dedicate her to you. And there's nothing greater than we can do is to dedicate our children back to you, Lord. We thank you for giving them these children, this family here. They've entrusted us, Lord. I pray for them as parents just to follow you and lead them in the admonition of you. And I pray for us as a church congregation, again, that we can support them and help them raise these children, Lord, as we are a family. And this is part of our family, and we're so thankful for them. And what a blessing these children are to us, all children are to us. We're thankful for that. So, Lord, we want to put them into your hands today. Give us wisdom as we help them, and just fill them with yourself. And we're so thankful for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, boy. That old Rory, he's a case, boy. Amen. Well, like I said, that's part of what we do sometimes. And I think churches as a whole, sometimes we kind of forget that we're a family and that we have responsibility to help out and support the rest of the people in the church. And that's what we want to do. And here and do the best we can, the best that God can do through us. And so I'm going to have an invitation time now. I don't know how God speaks to your hearts. I've preached on things and didn't think they were very, evangelistic in the sense of somebody being saved. But God speaks to people, man, outside of what I know. And so if you think you're lost, you want to be saved today, what a great day. And, we're making, like I say, as we make a commitment here to them and pray, keep them in your prayers as well. Amen.